Now let us turn to the Lord in prayer once again. Our gracious God, we pray that this message of peace in the Lord Jesus Christ fill our hearts and minds. May this peace with God be our experience. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ brings the gospel of peace because He is the Prince of Peace. Lord, we live in a world that is full of hate. We think of those murdered in New Zealand. And oh Lord, how much wickedness is done. How much souls are lost without hope and without God in this world. Lord, we pray for those who are left, those who are caught up in false religion, those who do not hear the message of salvation in that land. We pray that the believers might be given much grace to tell of the love of the Savior. We think of ourselves here now. As we hear this message again, may it reach us and change us, and may we behold Him who is fairer than 10,000, who is most beautiful, Thy Son. Bless us then, each one, as we hear Thy word, for Christ's sake. Amen. In verse 44 of Matthew chapter 13, in Matthew 13 and verse 44, we read this that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." The Lord Jesus Christ speaks about this treasure that was there, this treasure that had been neglected. There are many things that we might neglect in our lives, things that are very precious to us, things that are right there in front of us, but we might neglect it. I think at times when visiting places in this country and think how beautiful the country is, how beautiful parts are, and yet we might think, well, if we go somewhere on holiday, it might be good to go elsewhere, outside of the country. I'm not saying we shouldn't go, but there are things and places, even so close to us, that are beautiful and wonderful, but we might drive by them very quickly and do not notice. There are people that we cherish and we value, and we only know the value of them when they are gone, in our homes, in our families. And yet we may neglect them. We may ignore them. We may not cherish them as we ought to. Family members, wife, husband, children. Memories that are cherished in our minds and hearts, but at times we may forget. Blessings of God that we value so much, and yet we may forget it. We may ignore it at times. Rare gifts that were given to us, but we locked it away somewhere and we forgot all about it until we try to sort things out and do some spring cleaning and we find that, oh, I had this thing that was so costly, and so on. Many of such things that we might have right there in our homes and around us and may be ignored and neglected. Here was this picture the Lord Jesus Christ gives of a treasure that was hidden in a field that people didn't realize that it was there until someone found it and they did something. They wanted to have it. I remember as a boy of being told of a story that in the past when the Arabs were invading Iran at the time, many people stored away their treasures. And they said around this mud castle, there had been stories told of people hiding treasures. But people ignored it at the time. Nobody thought it was real. They thought it was just myths and stories. Until some people thought they took their stories seriously and they began digging all around it when there were no government police about. And they found the treasures and they took it away. And everyone else who used to talk about these stories said, "I wish we did that. I wish we went and dug around it." But my friends, in our lives, it's not just stories that are said. realities, truths of the Bible that we are told of a treasure to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Treasure of salvation, treasure of peace with God, treasure of forgiveness of sins, treasure of eternal life. Not only that, treasure of Christ Himself. Is He being neglected in our lives? Well, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about. This unrivaled, valuable treasure of the kingdom of heaven found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's think about this parable, this one verse parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Let me tell you something of its history, the background to it. And then later speak about this great treasure, and then finally that it worth everything that you have. So let's think about it, first of all, of its history. This historical setting of this parable. Well, we are told here that the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Why was that treasure hidden? Why is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about hidden treasures? If you think about it, it will become clear to you. In those ancient days, there were no places for the common people to save their valuable things that they had. Where would they put it? Did they have banks as we have today? No, they didn't. They had to hide it somewhere. They had to keep it somewhere safe. We put our monies in the bank, don't we? And the valuable things, we might put it in a safe. And there are all sorts of things that we may do with our savings. People might even say, well, I would buy, instead of putting my money in the bank, I might buy a house or something like that. Somewhere, thinking that it may hopefully not lose value. We insure our material possessions, which are worth a lot of money, just in case they break, in case they are stolen, that we won't lose the value of them, that at least we get the money back. But in those ancient days, in the Middle East and all over the world even, there were no such luxuries that we enjoy today. Now, in the Bible lands, the hidden treasures were common. It's not so common today, but it was common in those days. You see, Palestine, which was the land bridge between Egypt and the great empires of the world, was repeatedly invaded by all kinds of people, ravaged, and people were captured, and possessions were captured. And so what people did, multitudes would bury their valuable things. Multitudes would bury their gold. And because they were worried, what if we are captured? What if something happens and people come in and by force take these things away? And so people quickly would bury their treasures or things that were of value to them. They would bury them into the ground. They would put it between the layers of the walls, and they would put it into the trunks of the trees and all kinds of places they would find to hide their valuables away. And so this is what happened. And what happened when there was political change, when there was invasion in the land and people had to flee away, if they couldn't get their gold or get their treasure out of the ground, they had to leave it. Or maybe they died. There was a massacre in the land, or they were taken away as slaves. The treasure, the hidden treasure, was left behind. One missionary by the name of William M. Thompson, he wrote a book. He was a missionary in Syria and in Palestine for 30 years, and he told of workmen digging up a garden in Sidon, and they actually came across some pots, large pots. Copper pots of gold, full of gold. And they exactly did what this man did. They hid it back again. But then they couldn't keep the news back. They began to tell others, we have found some gold. And so what the government did, they said, well, it's the government's possession, and they took it all away. And they should have kept their mouth shut. But that's what they did. They hid it away, and then the government forced them to tell them where the gold was. And they found 800 pure gold coins of Alexander and his father Philip in those pots. And Thompson says that he saw hundreds of persons all over the country spending their last pennies looking for such treasures. So that's the background to it. That's the history of it. And hidden treasure today is very, very rare indeed. But our Lord Jesus Christ tells us this parable and told those people the parable that he describes this man which was in a field. It's interesting, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure in a field, which when a man hath found, why was that man there? It's interesting. He doesn't tell us why he was there or anything about the man, but what we find is that the term that he uses for field is actually agricultural land. It's not just any old field. It's not just somewhere in the country, but somewhere that used to be used for planting seed. That was the land for planting things. It was agricultural. So maybe this was a laborer. Maybe this man was a farmer. Maybe he was working on the land. And as he works on the land, he comes across this hidden treasure. He sees that this is of great value. This is a great treasure. And so he keeps his discovery a secret. He buries the treasure back again. When a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Why doesn't he take it away? Why does he hide it away? Why couldn't he just steal it away? What's the answer? But he sees this valuable treasure, and he doesn't tell anyone. He puts it back where he found it. And then he sells everything. Imagine you doing that. Selling everything you've got. And he goes back, he buys not the treasure, he buys the field itself. And then he takes the treasure. And then the treasure becomes his. You see, there is reason for this. People who heard this knew what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. You see, because as part of the Jewish law of property known to our Lord's audience, those people who heard of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything buried on the land belonged to the person who purchased it. Whoever owns the land has everything that is in it. Well, there's some laws in this country as well, I think, of if you go below certain level, if you dig after you get below certain meters, everything under that is owned by the government. If you find the treasure after 2 meters or something like that, it's not yours anymore. It becomes the government's. I think there are some laws in this land regarding this. And so this man wanted to do things right. He wanted nobody to be claiming this and say, well, you didn't have this land. It's not yours. It's so-and-so's land. So he wanted to do things lawfully. So he says, what I'm going to do, I know there's a treasure here. I'm going to sell everything I have, and I'm going to buy the field itself so that I might have the treasure. You see, the field itself was of less value than the treasure itself. What was of greatest value was the treasure, and that's what he wanted. So he does things rightly. And that's the background to it. What is the Lord teaching us in this? Well, the Lord says of the greatness of the treasure. That's the second thing I want to tell you. Have you seen great treasures? So valuable treasures, maybe a crown you have seen of that is so rich in its content, the stones, the jewels upon it are so rich. There's nothing like it. It's shiny, it is glittery. My friends, not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that shines is of value. And there are many people in the world who go through life, they think they are going after valuable things, but actually it's not valuable things. The pleasures of life, the things that seem to be shining at us and calling upon us, and we people go after it, and then it bursts. It's a bubble that bursts. It's like a golden balloon that a person might go after. It bursts after a while. But here is a great treasure that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about. And this great treasure was hidden from sight to begin with. And the Lord is illustrating this and says that this hidden treasure is like the kingdom of heaven. This hidden treasure basically is like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything wonderful about heaven is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. What is the greatest once-in-a-lifetime bargain or discovery that you've ever made? The greatest discovery that a man may make is the Christian salvation. It's the gospel. It's to know that saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through His blood and the rule and the reign of the risen Savior in a human's heart and in a person's life. That's the message of the kingdom of heaven. The gospel is the message of the kingdom of heaven. That's the greatest treasure that anyone can stumble upon and have in possession. To think and to know for sure that the sin is forgiven, that eternal life is given, that peace is had by us, peace with God. You see, when there is hatred between you and other people, it is a great indication that you don't have peace with God. If you had peace with God, then there would also, you have peace, ultimate peace with your fellow man, because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the fact that we are to love God with all our heart and then our fellow man as well, our neighbor as well as ourselves. The question is, do we have this possession of this great treasure, this salvation? That to you, it may be hidden. Maybe for a while in your life, for many years in your life. I talked to one man and he said, for 28 years, he did not see it. He was a churchgoer. But for 28 years, he went through various things. But he just couldn't get it. He believed the Bible. He believed it was true. But he just didn't see the value of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the thing, my friends. Maybe, boys and girls, you're brought up in the church. And you believe the Bible. But it's not so valuable to you. It is. You're not cherishing it. You're not loving it. It's not motivating you. And you're not loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you don't see Him as you ought to. But you can pray, Lord, show me. Lord, speak to me today. It's a hidden treasure, it says. It's hid in a field. The field, which is hidden in the world. As in an earlier parable that we read together. While the treasure itself is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of salvation, the gospel of the kingdom. The man in the parable is a picture of the sinner, a person who is lost and who doesn't have this treasure to begin with. And yet he comes across it somehow, for some reason. Somehow his foot is directed in that way. And he comes across it, and then what he does, when he finds it, he wants it. He can't have anything else. He doesn't want to have anything else. Nothing else will satisfy him. I must have this. I must have this, he says. And so, until he embraces that treasure, he's not satisfied. He'd rather have nothing else but this. And so, this is talking about the embracing of the gospel, embracing of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation by faith in Him. So what's the significance of this treasure? It was hidden. It wasn't noticed. It was not readily seen by people. It was not readily appreciated by people. And so it is with us, spiritually speaking. The most basic point to make is that the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in this world. Praise God for that. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Praise God that He came into this world. The treasure came down. The unspeakable gift of God came down into this world. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom has come. This was a mystery to begin with. God spoke of this to begin with, but people didn't fully understand it. It was all vague terms to them. But the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 9, this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. It was hidden in God, as it were. Whether the gospel is read of in the Bible, or heard in the preaching by God's ministers and God's people, or even seen in the daily lives of God's people, this gospel is to be found in this world. God hasn't taken it away. This treasure is amongst us. And this is the church's mission. One of the major tasks of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christians. Our mission is this, to publish this good news. To tell others about, we found the treasure. A treasure is found. A most valuable thing is found. And that leads you to the kingdom of heaven. And it's found in this world. God has brought it down. What a thing it is. What a privilege it is to tell people about this. And it is our task on earth. How easily churches may lose their way. They lose their sight of this mission. We may cheapen it to say, well, it's not really worth much. Or you can take it or leave it. And so on. Or for people to be distracted. To live more in the field. To just have the field but not cherish the treasure itself, and to be entertained or to be gimmicks might be used. It easily can happen. But do you cherish the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you think, no, I'm distracted by other things. Yet, the hiddenness of the kingdom remains a factor in the lives of unconverted people. They just don't see it. Maybe this morning you are here and you don't really see what's the whole point about. What is it that Christians keep talking about, singing about? Why is it that they keep talking about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why they keep singing about that they have found a friend? Oh, such a friend. Why is it that they love the name of Jesus? Why is it that they don't use the name of God in vain? Because they love Him. Because they have found Him. As the Apostle Paul says this, he says, but the nature of man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And that's why. So you have to say, well, the reason I can't see it is because I'm still a natural man. I have not been made alive spiritually. That's why. Neither, he says, know them. You can't know it because they are spiritually discerned. So, but one thing you may do this morning, Lord, say to the Lord, Lord, I can't see it. It's unclear to me. But Lord, I want to have it. I know it is of great value. Lord, help me. Give me sight to see. Help me to understand these things. And so those of you who are yet not Christians, the Bible says that we are like spiritually, we are blind. We can't see the light for ourselves. And the gospel is personally a hidden treasure to many who otherwise are aware of its presence in the world. And indeed, they don't believe its claims. And our Lord shows that this was also a problem in His time. He says to the Pharisees, it's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 39, He says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me. He says, you are looking at Scriptures, you are searching the Scriptures, but it's all about me, and yet you don't come to me, you don't believe me. And ye will not come to me that ye may have life. The great need for you who are not true Christians is to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the treasure it is, and to desire to be saved by His free grace. So, we've seen something of the background. We've seen something of its history. We've seen something of the greatness of the treasure. and how it was seen, it was hidden. But then think how great this treasure is, because it is a redeeming treasure. It saves. It does something. It's not just there to be put on a mantelpiece and say, look what a treasure I have. But actually, this treasure does something for us. It redeems the soul. It saves the soul. It makes us right with God. You see, this treasure was carved upon the cross. This treasure of salvation in Jesus Christ, we can have it because Jesus Christ died upon the cross. That's why we have the Lord's table here this morning. It's a reminder for us of what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. And so the bread is the representation of his body that suffered upon that cross, was nailed to the cross and was broken for us, and his blood which was shed is represented with the wine. And this treasure is all of the goodness of God's saving grace. It is to be received by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. The gospel is the unsearchable riches of Christ, the Bible says, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. And if you have this treasure, have you this treasure? If you have this treasure, then the fruit of it is in you. The fruit of it is seen in you. There's a new heart given. You see this treasure? That's something. It gives us a new heart. It gives you a new record of life, a clean record before God. So the Lord sees us and he says, but they have this treasure. The Lord sees us and sees that the Lord Jesus Christ died for a sinner like us. So the debt has been paid. Not just that, but that now we have this treasure. We have this value of this treasure. We have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the wonderful things about the Lord Jesus is now in our account. As if we have done those things. And yet we haven't. But he has done it on our behalf. He's living on our behalf. And we have a new life. These are the things that the Christian has. What treasure you possess. Don't be singing about these things. And those who have found this great redeeming treasure, they have nothing less than the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And to have this indwelling of the power of the Holy Spirit, the hope of glory, true peace and true joy. The Apostle Paul shows this when he was converted. Before, it was all blinded. There was a time that we read in the life of the Apostle Paul when he was still lost. He stood there while Stephen died. He stood there and people threw their clothes on him, and he was carrying those things and he was agreeing to the death of Stephen. He didn't see any of that. He didn't see why was it that this man dying. He didn't even see that what Stephen saw that day when Stephen died. Stephen looked up, and what did he see? He beheld the Son of God standing for him and ready to receive him into heaven. And when he heard Stephen say, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, Paul didn't have any idea what Stephen was talking about. You see, he was blinded. He didn't notice. He didn't see because he didn't have the treasure. He'd not come across it. But Stephen had. Stephen had come across this treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. But by God's grace, the Lord worked in Paul's heart. And so he says in Philippians those words, though I might have also confidence in the flesh. He says, I had everything that this world could want to have. Oh, I had all the religious background. I had all the fame. I had all the things that you would say, here is a man who would get to heaven. But none of these things mattered anything. I was the Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, what did I do? Persecuting the church. That's how zealous I was. But then he says, but what things were gained to me? These things were gained to me. Or people would think, this is of great value to you, Paul. He says, those things, those I counted loss for Christ. It meant nothing then. It meant nothing to me. My friends, when you are going to to go for something very important, and you're driving in your car, But you're going to maybe some important event, maybe going to see an important person that you love, and something wonderful is to take place. Maybe on your wedding day, and you're going for the wedding. Do you know, you may be passing this and that and the other thing, and they're all wonderful and beautiful, but you don't notice them at all. It's of no value to you, because you are going for something more important, of greater value. And that's what it is. That's what coming to the Savior is. And Paul says, everything else I counted but loss. It meant nothing anymore. Not that they were not of value, but it just, in comparison, it was of no value at all. That's the treasure of the gospel. That's the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have this treasure? And my friends, to finish, let me say, it is worth everything. This gospel of the Savior, the person of the Savior, Jesus Christ, is worth everything. Do you get this? Here was a man, he finds this treasure, and then it says here that when he found it, he hideth and for joy thereof goeth and selleth. Selleth. Sells all that he hath and buyeth that field. He buys it. That's what he does. He buys the field. And let me tell you something of an unaffordable purchase that is to be made. The fact that the man bought the field and the treasure with his own money, it doesn't mean that you can buy salvation by your own good works and efforts. There are people that we saw throughout past week, and when you ask them about are they Christians, they would say yes, they are Christians. And are you ready to meet God? Yes, I'm ready to meet God. On what basis? Well, I was baptized, I was christened, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But you can't buy those things at all. It is foolishness. You're building your life on sand if you do that. You can't, by your own good works, please God. The Bible teaches that salvation is by God's grace, God's favor towards us, and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The apostle says this in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, those very important words that every one of us should know. For by grace, he says, are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's what we read. Indeed, when the Bible is talking about buying in relation to salvation, it's made absolutely clear that it is a buying of free grace. The helpless, resourceless sinner buys that which he cannot conceivably afford. You can't afford it, and yet you buy it. And this theme is found everywhere in the Bible. So we read these words in Isaiah. Isaiah tells you this. When the Lord is reaching out to lost people, he says to us in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Strange, isn't it? It says, you don't have any money, but come and buy and eat. How is that possible? Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, there is no money. There is no price to pay for that. But you come. You don't have anything. But you come, and as you come, you may buy. How is that possible? Have you seen a dog with a stick in its mouth trying to get through a gate or something like that? And it tries to get in, and it can't. And it tries and tries and tries until it gets tired and drops the stick and then goes through. Or I've seen once or twice children putting their hands in a jar, and they want to have all of the sweets. They're not satisfied just with one. They have to have all of it. And so they put their hands and grab all of the sweets, and they can't get their hands out of the jar. And so they're just like that, sitting there. And they are not satisfied. They're not going to get any sweets at all, because they have to let go of everything else. They just need one. That's all they need. And that's what the Lord is saying. You have nothing. You come, you buy and eat. You let go of everything else that you hold dear to you. You can't afford this. So let go of everything else and come as a sinner to the Lord. And the Lord will provide you milk and honey and wine. And here in this parable, a great treasure. The salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't afford it. And yet you're called to buy it. It's a costly purchase. Many people have made a fortune that they put in one pot all that they have to venture to do something, some sort of a new project, not some intention that they have, and sometimes they succeed. Sometimes they don't. They lose everything. Well, here is this man who puts all that he has. He sells everything that he has because he knows of this value. Do you really appreciate the value of the salvation in Jesus Christ? Do you really cherish the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is? He gave everything that he had and didn't think that it was too much of a price to get the treasure that he has discovered. Like Moses. Moses left the life of a prince in Egypt to suffer with the Lord's people because he had found the Lord, or the Lord had found him on that mount. The coming rewards as a prince in Egypt, it meant nothing to him now. He didn't want to stay in Egypt anymore. And coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is in one sense free, is in one sense completely free, but at the same time, in another sense, it's the costliest purchase that you can ever make, because it is this unconditional surrender of not only all that you have, but all of that you are. You are no longer the man or woman that you used to be. It's leaving everything. It's leaving all of your self-confidence. It is leaving everything that you trusted in for yourself. It is like a man who goes abseiling. I wonder if you've done abseiling. I've done it a couple of times. But it's that final point. You have to just let go. What is going to happen? You trust in the rope. And the Christian has nothing else other than holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's leaving everything, including your old self and all that you trusted in, for the sake of following the Lord Jesus Christ. What a possession is the gospel. How wonderful it is. And friends, any poor sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ can have this treasure. Anyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the scripture says, shall be saved. That's wonderful, isn't it? What other news is there? What other thing, what other offer is made or presentation is made? Here is something wonderful. Don't reject it. Don't neglect it. And I say to you, if you're a Christian, do you value the Lord Jesus? Is he shining in your life, or is he being neglected in your life? Are you a faithful example of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you value him? Do you love him? Here is someone who died for us, who loved us so dearly, so that he might give himself for us. And this is our only hope, my friends. So here is a field. The field is the world. And in this world, the gospel comes to us. The gospel is hidden from people's sight. And yet we are told, here is the gospel. Here is this treasure. Go and sell everything you have. Go and sell and give up your life. Give up all that you have for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, my friend, is a simple parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to people who did know about what a hidden treasure was and what risks there would be in it. But what a wonderful thing to find one. May the Lord show you of what a treasure the Savior is. And for you, when you find it, you will be full of joy. That's one of the most wonderful things. We must speak about the blindness of man. But when God gives you sight, you will never again stop rejoicing in the message of salvation. Things will happen to your life and you'll be full of all kinds of sad feelings. But you can never be sad about the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless each one of us. And for us to have that assurance of faith that you don't just know about this treasure, but you have this treasure. Amen. Let